there, everybody. Welcome to the After Show podcast. I'm Jason. That is Darren. My headphones are all weird again in here.
Oh.
Like, I could barely hear myself. I wonder if it was... Someone changed the settings again.
I wonder if they if Jerry does it on the weekends.
Someone is changing the settings on this board, because you're coming in really low. Talk.
Hello. How are you?
Okay, so now you're at normal, but I have to post...
It's 9:03.
Well, I mean, it's a podcast, so yeah. It could be 12:20.
Talking. Let's just...
It's just someone keeps changing the settings. And the thing is, they change every other week.
Yeah.
I don't understand this, which makes it very difficult. Like, I like the settings where they currently are, kinda. I wish they were a little bit boosted because it's not
consistent.
Just
turn the knobby and make it louder?
No, I'm saying even on the board, like, your inputs are different. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I can't explain that.
It's so weird. Anyway, hello. Sorry we went behind the scenes of the show a little bit. I've got an interview that I'm doing later today that is of some import, in that it is an officer who is involved in why, it would appear, the judge who's overlooking the federal consent decree is concerned. Adley Shepard, 4 years ago, was arresting a woman on suspicion of some sort of domestic abuse. I believe she was drunk at the time, or she was under the influence, it seemed. He puts her in handcuffs, puts her in the back seat of a vehicle, of a patrol car. She kicks him in the face, and his instinctive reaction, which is to follow training, which is you're supposed to, you can use physical force at that point. He punches her one time in the face. So he and this that was the only bit of force that he used. It obviously it just ended the escalation at that point.
She was refusing to get into the car, and she was
already in the car, but she was still pushing back. And so, as a result of that, he ended up getting fired. Adley Shepard, he gets fired. 4 years later, they go through arbitration, which the city and the police membership, the guild, agreed on the arbitrator. The arbitrator came back and said, actually, you should not have fired this person. You owe him back pay for the 4 years. I think they gave him like a 15-day suspension, something like that. Or that's what the arbitrator believed to be appropriate. And you have to reinstate him as a cop. And so as a result of that, the federal judge who's looking over the consent decree and this new contract is saying, I want answers as to how this can happen. The city and Chief Carmen Bess have said that they're working with the Seattle City Attorney's Office to appeal. But I don't know, unless the arbitrator did something against the rules of arbitration, there's not really much that the city can do. Now, I don't know if he should have been fired, because my sense is no. I would have punished, probably. And I think, though, part of that is I look at the size of him versus the size of the woman, and I think I clearly have a bias that says, okay, could you have dealt with this in a different scenario?
Yeah.
And the answer is probably yes, he could have. Now, I've never been kicked in the face while trying to arrest someone, so I tend to give the benefit of the doubt to an officer. And, you know, if this was multiple punches, that would have been too much, obviously. Using your weapon, obviously, it was not necessary. She was in handcuffs, but it did stop the situation. So I don't know if it should have been a firing, but I understand why people react the way that they do to that. And again, I go in this with lots of bias that leans in the directions of cops. I just am. I don't know if this is a bad cop. I don't think it's a bad cop in the way that we traditionally talk about the bad apple.
And the patience he showed for the first couple minutes before that.
Exactly. I mean, there was a lot of context to it. But again, the optics, I think even he would admit, are bad.
Yeah.
The optics are really bad. You're punching a woman who's half your size.
Yeah.
So he's going to come in studio and we're going to do this interview. It's the only time he's spoken at length on any of this stuff. So this is our exclusive. And again, part of the reason why I'm getting this is because I'm so pro-cop. I'm still going to push back. It's not going to be a puff piece, but it's also not going to be like, this is the equivalent of a murder.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to go that far, which is how some people are talking. I'm kind of, I'm mostly curious from the perspective of, like, how does it feel knowing what you know about everything, and I'm sure he's going to have a lot of stuff behind the scenes that's happened that you and I don't know about, that most people don't know about. Like, how does it feel that a federal judge is now potentially using getting your job back as a means to completely get rid of this SPD contract, because I'm assuming there's some level of guilt, even if he doesn't think it's fair. Mm-hmm. I have to assume there's some level of guilt, and I wonder if there's any resentment from other cops. Now, the cops that I've spoken to about him specifically in the past, I haven't asked anyone recently, has mostly said what I said, which is, it looks bad, probably shouldn't have done it, but he's a good guy. He's a good cop. That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
And I've heard from cops who have said, actually, that's a bad cop. That we wish that cop
should
be. Like, I've heard that from people, but not of him. I'm saying in a general sense. Not like, I'm not saying every time I ask, everyone just backs each other. Like, back the bat. Like, I'm not saying that.
Gotcha.
I've certainly heard from people who have said situations were mishandled and this was a horrible move and this cop shouldn't be in uniform. Like, I've heard that from people before. Not locally. Like, not. I've heard local cops talk about other cops outside of the area. So I'm kind of interested to see how that's going to go. And this is a pretty high-profile interview that I don't know how it's going to end. So I'm looking forward to that. So I got to prep for that. We're also talking with Brian Clippert?
Adam Clippert.
Adam Clippert?
I think so.
Representative Clippert.
There you go.
State representative from Kennewick. He's a Republican who's taking on a position on weed that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
You're right.
He wants to put a bill that includes now preschools and bus stops on that buffer zone where you can't be within 1,000 feet if you're owning a pot shop. And okay, if that was it, I would say that's just, it's overkill, it's unnecessary, but okay, I'm not going to.
It's annoying that if somebody found the perfect property to buy and it's 980 feet from a bus stop,
it's kind of ridiculous.
They can't buy that property.
There's two problems. One, bus stops change at random sometimes, and it all has to do with where the kids are living. Mm-hmm. Number two, it's retroactive, this bill, that cannot stay in this legislation.
What does that mean?
It means that right now, if you are within 1,000 feet of a preschool, if this bill passes, you have to close. It's retroactive. The bill then would it would be as if those two things were always in the list. Which how are you supposed to operate if you currently or 980 feet away from a bus stop or a preschool, where otherwise you were allowed to start the business, but now all of a sudden it's not. Yeah, the clothes. Like, how is a business person supposed to operate under those standards?
Derail somebody's life, and for what?
For no reason other than I don't like weed. I'm doing it for the kids. And maybe that's not his position.
That kid would have walked, you know.
They're going to walk
that far to go into the pot shop they're not allowed in. But they wouldn't walk 1,000 feet.
I am putting that on him.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's not why he's doing it, which is why I want to talk to him. And again, I'm not going to yell at him. But I'm going to be honest and be like, I don't like this bill. This is a weird bill. I don't care that he's a Republican. Republicans overwhelmingly in this state, when it comes to marijuana, they're on the wrong side of the issue for me. I'm still going to vote for Republicans. Doesn't mean I'm not a Republican. Just means on this particular issue, I disagree with. And it's okay to disagree with your own side. I disagreed with that one dude on taxes against cigarettes. I forget his name. He's from the southern part of Washington, but
taxes against cigarettes?
He wanted higher taxes against cigarettes. And I'm like, that's kind of like blood money.
What do you mean against cigarettes?
On cigarettes. And he said something like, you're naive, Jason. He said it in the middle of an interview, and I did not let that go. I kept saying, man, I might be naive, Representative, but why don't you – like, I was super passive-aggressive for the entirety of that interview.
You were?
So I've never been that passive-aggressive. I'm not passive-aggressive by default in interviews. I'm pretty aggressive when I'm against something, and I'll say it. I'll be honest, and I'll be respectful and civil, and I'll let them – I'm not going to interrupt them or yell. But I'm not passive-aggressive. I was so passive-aggressive there. I was like uber passive-aggressive. So that's what's coming up on the show. Let's take a quick break, and we'll talk about what happened this weekend to me that was pretty awful. Welcome back to the After Show podcast. I'm Jason. That's Darren. So I was watching the Avengers 4 on 4K disc, mm-hmm. and there was a part of it that was a little corrupted.
Uh-oh.
That was the worst.
Oh, okay.
But it went away after. Only the scene.
That's
with,
all? Okay, then.
Yeah, it was only the scene with... No, I'm... Mm-hmm. Okay. It was only the scene with the little person, who's actually big.
When
he was making the Peter Dinklage, when he was making Thor's.
I forgot he was in that.
Avengers 4 is so good.
Yeah,
it is so good.
I liked it.
Like, it's almost a perfect movie.
Which, yeah, if I liked it and it's a Marvel movie, then it's good.
I like some Marvel movies, but I don't go over the top with them. Like, I thought Black Panther was good, but not the best movie ever made. Which
isn't that
is
racist?
How some people. That's I'm apparently racist for thinking that. I thought the last Thor was really good, and I thought the last first new Spider-Man with Tom Holland.
Yeah.
I think that was awesome. That was in my top 10 last year.
I still haven't watched that.
I really liked it. But I don't go crazy. I didn't like the first Captain America. I liked the second one,
yeah,
which was really just the Avengers.
I started watching the new Spider-Man, and
so
in that first scene, I realized that it was a Marvel thing.
It's
like,
so good, though.
Connected to Iron Man and stuff, and
so
I turned
good.
It off.
No, you're stupid. Put it back on, and you watch the whole way. It's so good. I love the new Spider-Man. I think it's just adorable. And I just like that. I like the character Spider-Man probably the most of all the superheroes. But I don't like the – I hated Tobey Maguire. I like
Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield.
I like him
was
a
good.
Lot. Yeah.
But he's too old. I like this idea of the younger Peter Parker. I just like the – because I like –
he's in high school.
Exactly. I like coming
Tobey
of age
Maguire
movies
has
that are
like
done
he's
well.
40.
Yeah. He plays a 14-year-old. He's always been 47 years old. I don't get it. You should watch it really. But the Avengers is so good. Mm-hmm. And partly because I'm wanting to watch it again because the Endgame trailer came out. Mm-hmm. For the next Avengers film, and it looks really good. I don't generally get excited for movies. I just don't
like at all.
I love movies. I don't get excited about like anxious about releases.
Oh, I see.
Like I want the new Batman to come out.
I guess I don't either, but I was that way for the Queen movie though. I was looking
forward
Bohemian to that
Rhapsody.
For years.
Yeah, see I want to see it.
Uh-huh.
But I don't generally get that kind of weird excitement where I'm willing to camp out and for days.
Right.
Like that's the kind of excitement I'm talking about. And I think, again, a part of that is because I think I see movies earlier than everybody else because of the movie reviews. And I'm just not a naturally excitable person on that kind of stuff.
I'm not sure there's anything that could get me to go be in line.
Yeah, I don't understand that. But I'm just saying, like, I'm not
like
so
anxious.
Like
the same mentality that, like, a protester has. Like, I'm going to take part of my day to go do this.
Agree with that. I can wait for a movie to come out even if I really want to see it. This is the first time that I can remember where I'm like, I literally cannot wait. I need to see this movie immediately.
Yeah.
And to satisfy that, I rewatched The Avengers Infinity War, which is 4 hours long, or 3 hours long. It's so long.
Yeah, that's right.
But it goes by so fast. I think it hits every note it's supposed to. The only thing I'm bummed out about in this new one is that half the characters aren't going to be in it, presumably until the last third of the movie, where I'm assuming they somehow turn back time and breathe. I don't know how they're going to do it.
What you can do is you can look at the cast.
I chose not to go on IMDb, so I'm only looking at the trailer. And so by the trailer...
But that's a huge giveaway.
Clearly the ones who didn't die at the end of The Last Avengers are not going to be in this movie. And so the people who didn't die... With one exception is who was not in the first one, Jeremy Renner's character with the arrow, whatever his name is.
Yeah,
he shows up in the trailer, so you know he's going to be in this one. But you know that Tony Stark's in it. You know that Black Widow's in it. You know that Thor's in it. And the only one that you, assuming you saw the end credit scene, is Ant-Man somehow gets back from the ether. Because he gets buzzed into... Did you see Ant-Man and the Wasp? Should I tell you how it ends?
I don't care. Sure.
Okay, so Ant-Man and the... I'm about to give you a spoiler at home. The last scene in the credits is he gets zapped into the atomic side and they say, hey, be careful. We'll bring you back soon. And while he's down there, all the other characters who are responsible for sending him down there disappear. They all die. So
like randomly?
Randomly. Okay. They turn to dust like at the end of Avengers 4. This happened at the same time.
I see.
And so he was stuck in this subatomic spot or whatever it is that they call it. I can't remember what they call it. And he's in the trailer as a normal guy. So he somehow got brought back. I don't know how. I'm kind of curious to find out. Hold on.
Sorry.
Jeez. A lot of the blogs are saying he's going to play a much bigger role because he's my least favorite.
Uh-huh.
He plays a huge role, I guess, in this new Avengers. Now go.
You don't like Paul Rudd?
I don't like the character.
Oh, okay.
I don't like Ant-Man. I don't think it should be a movie.
The cast of Endgame.
Don't tell me anything.
And if you see Spider-Man guy's name there, then that's a giveaway, isn't it?
Not necessarily.
He could become. Is there a way that they can avoid that?
Not totally. There is. So how about this?
I guess it could be flashbacks or whatever.
There were people in the IMDb profile. Jeremy Renner's character is in IMDb for Avengers 4.
Mm-hmm.
He's not in it.
Oh, okay.
So that could happen. Number two, it could be flashbacks. Number three, my assumption is we already know that there's a new Spider-Man movie coming out after this Avengers movie. So he's going to come back. My assumption
That's
is everyone
true.
Comes back. And so I already know that I'm just kind of curious how they're going to make that work.
Yeah.
That in a plausible
way. I'm interested.
Yeah, you know, in a plausible way. Like, nothing's going to be believable per se, but I want it to be plausible in the sense of this is what the movie is, and I don't want them to cheat too much. Again, my assumption is Captain Marvel plays a role. Her movie comes out in a couple months.
Oh, that's the Brie Larson one.
Yeah. I think that one comes out in March, maybe January, something like that. And she's what's behind the final scene, the credit scene, where Samuel L. Jackson's character is paging someone. Her logo appears on the pager for help. So we know that she's going to play some sort of role in this. I'm not familiar with her character. And by the way, I saw the trailer for Captain Marvel. I didn't like it. It didn't excite me the way that the Thor.
I think she's great.
I like her as an actress. I don't know. Maybe because I don't know enough about the character.
Yeah.
But it seems a little bit too much like what they did with Wonder Woman, where she's old and she doesn't age and she lives throughout all these decades. And it reminded me too much of that. Even though I liked Wonder Woman except for the ending, it just seemed like it was the same thing but with a different character. Wonder Woman is actually good. You know what's good?
Huh.
What's the one with all of them? Justice League.
Oh.
I really like Justice League. I hated Batman versus Superman. That was awful. And that one I was kind of excited for. It's awful. What is it called again? Said it.
Captain Marvel?
No, the
Justice League.
Justice League. I liked it. I was pleasantly surprised by it. And I saw it in theaters on IMAX and on a movie.
Is that new?
An airplane.
Or is this...
No, that came out like 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
You're really behind on the superhero movies. Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you listen to all my interviews that are coming up in the rest of the show. Bye.